You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I'm going to be chatting with Reni Achkar, who's joining me from the UK, although he has a fascinating heritage behind that name that maybe we'll dig into as well. But, you know, in prepping for this call, I jumped over to his Twitter feed. He doesn't know that I did this, but he has a post from a week or two ago about something that he did with his marketing agency that I think is fascinating, because he outlined all the tools that he utilized to launch his agency. And so he goes through, and it's not a long list. I mean, it's his domain, which he got on GoDaddy. He has a website on Webflow. He's using SEMrush for his SEO stuff. He has his payment processor, where he does his workflow, a whole bunch of other things, but it's not an extensive list. And the point is that a lot of these things, as I was looking through the list, are things that I use, a lot of people I know use. We all have these things that we're probably already playing around with for some other reason. And why not utilize what's right in front of us to address whatever task is at hand? And that really brings us to the topic that, you know, we wanted to chat about today, which is utilizing the resources that you've already got. So Reni, welcome, and thanks for putting that post online, because it really, I think, can help inform our conversation.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me on your podcast, firstly. And yeah, that's great. I didn't realize you had a look at my Twitter feed. That's actually one of the channels I've recently signed up to, as I think it's one of the best and most effective ones. The reason I actually put out my post there is because when I started my agency back in August 2021, I literally started from scratch. I didn't know any of the great resources that are available out there. And so I sort of just wanted to share it with my community so that they can get a better understanding of what is actually available out there, and that they don't actually have to look deep and far to find the resources they need, and that it's literally essentially just in front of them.
So let's take just a quick moment to talk about the work that you're doing. You have a marketing agency, you have a background in marketing, also in training people. Why don't you sort of give us a quick overview, and then we can sort of talk about how you've utilized, you know, these ideas.
Yeah, of course. So I started Social Laboratories in London in August 2021. The reason I started it was because I was previously working for an agency as well in London. I worked there about for 4 to 5 months, and I realized that I didn't really enjoy how it was being run and sort of the clients that we were working with mostly. So I thought I'd just take things into my own hands and just start Social Laboratories, and that's exactly where it began. The first 5 to 6 months were quite hard. I was focused on far too many channels and had five to six goals and objectives I was trying to reach simultaneously. So in January this year, we sort of went through a massive rebranding, changed the logo, changed the way we operated, the whole business structure, and it took off from there. As well as, so I do a bit of consulting on the side as well. I consult mainly blockchain startups on their marketing operations. It's a completely new market. So what I like about it is the innovation there and the freedom to make and decide on different strategies that haven't been executed previously.
So I want to go back to the shift that you made in your business, because there's always great lessons that we learn that we can benefit from hearing, you know, what lessons others learned in their business. So what's one or two takeaways of something that you did, right? You said too many channels, for example, but what did you discover this isn't working? And then what did you do specifically to correct that?
Yeah, so one of the main problems that I had, which really brought the business down at that point, was that we were focused on about 6 to 7 different industries. And the problem that made was when somebody would go for our funnel and go into the website, the landing page, they would see about the 5 different businesses that we work with, which were completely irrelevant to them. So we'd work with e-commerce stores, hospitality, so that would be like restaurants, bars, nightclubs. Then we'd have a tech startup, a recruitment agency, a real estate agency. So it just didn't work. especially for when we were working on the outreach. So some clients we just message. One thing that we quite went wrong with was as well as automation. Automation is great, but when you're starting, you do want to build actual relationships with the people you speak with. And unfortunately, yeah, the conversion there was terrible. And so in January, when we went through, just did a general business audit, one of the main things we discussed was our niche and how we're going to rebrand. So when we rebranded, right now, we just focus on blockchain startups and e-com stores. And since then, it's been a lot more easier because people understand what our business does, the problem we solve, the services that we offer, and who we work with. So there is none of that awkward phase where you're explaining that you've worked with six different businesses from six different markets. So yeah, that was the main really takeaway from the whole rebranding.
It's often a distraction, I think, when you have a business saying, you know, I'm in the hospitality space and you do almost all this other stuff as tech. How is that stuff going to be relevant to me? And you know, as a professional, well, I can sort of, you know, take ideas and concepts and apply it to your business, but they're looking for somebody who really has the true experience. And obviously it can get confusing. So kudos for you for having the discipline to do an audit of your own business and see what's working and what's not. That's great.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can. When you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers, inside you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now back to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Because unfortunately, even though the couple of clients that we did manage to sign from that phase of August to January, the results weren't great because we obviously had nowhere near as much experience working with the specific niche as we do now working within the blockchain and e-com sector.
Okay. I admitted before we hit record that I really don't quite understand how the whole blockchain concept applies to business and businesses that are in the blockchain, exactly what they're doing. And so, I will ask for us to sort of jump out of our main focus for a moment for you to explain to me and, you know, some of our older gray-haired listeners like me. I'm also gray-haired, a little bit about sort of this new world of blockchain. So in sort of the simplest terms possible, explain it to my, 12-year-old. Well, actually, she'll probably understand it in the more. So explain it to a fifth grader.
So blockchain, it's a new concept. So in blockchain, you have businesses such as, for example, NFTs, which are essentially virtual arts, but they have a contract back behind them. So at the end of the day, it turns out it's a business. You've also got the cryptocurrencies, which I'm sure you've heard about, probably Bitcoin, Ethereum, two of the biggest ones, I'd say, at this time. And personally, our business at the moment, we work with blockchain startups. So that's startups that integrate blockchain into what they do. So, for example, one business that I'm currently working with is Whalemap. What Whalemap do is they offer on-chain data analytics to all market players. And the whole principle of blockchain was to essentially give the same opportunity to all market participants. So it's all decentralized, as well as all the data that we provide at Whalemap is all free as well. So yeah, that's basically the principle of blockchain.
We can go down a path that I don't want to spend too much time on. But when you said, you know, equal opportunity, it feels like what open source has, you know, was in the past. But I imagine that there's a different angle or different element beyond simply being open source. Is that correct?
So open source as in. You lost me here a bit.
Yeah. So, in terms of the way that things are built or information is shared, and maybe it's an updated terminology. You know, for back when I was younger, and we used the term open source, was really about equal opportunity for access to, you know, participate in the play in the same playground.
Yeah, it's literally the same concept. except everything is literally peer to peer, and all everything is decentralized as well.
I guess that's the key, is the decentralization, and that makes sense. So you had and we started off talking about some of the assets or the tools that you had sort of used to build your agency initially. And it's an interesting, you know, sort of concept that I was thinking about this today, because the term shiny object syndrome came up, and I was talking to somebody about something we're about to buy. And I said, what is that going to solve for you? And they told me, I said, well, that makes sense, except don't you already own something very similar that can solve the same problem? And they, first of all, had completely forgotten they owned that. And second of all, they were trying desperately to rationalize, as, you know, human psychology forces us to, the emotional attachment to making a new purchase. But you make a really important and valid point that we have assets that we rarely utilize and ought to utilize to build, you know, what we already are trying to build. Let's go a little deeper into that.
Yeah, of course. So when I started my agency, I was focused on really just getting the word out as much as possible through different means, which included website, business pages on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I created a Twitter account for my agency, but what I didn't really take into consideration at all, which was probably one of the biggest mistakes I did when I started, I didn't consider my following, my audience, community on LinkedIn as well as Instagram. On both of those platforms, I've got on LinkedIn just over 4,000 followers. On Instagram, I've got just over 5,000. And I just looked beyond that, and I didn't really take it into account, when I could have just sat there and said, well, here's my starting community, let me share my message through here and explore different opportunities I have within this community. So that was one of the biggest errors that I made at that point, was just overlooking what I already had, which was my big community within those two platforms. And recently, as I mentioned previously, I signed up to Twitter. I've been trying to be as active as possible there, because that's another great channel. But I only started recently because I was really focused on Instagram and LinkedIn, and sort of just making a tighter community on those two platforms.
Yeah, totally. You know, when I went to your website, your eponymous website, which is your name, right? .com, RainyAchkar.com, right? And I'll make sure to have a link to that. There's a big picture of you, right? And I find that so inviting. Actually, I just realized as I said that my website doesn't have a picture of me up top. People have to scroll down to find out what I look like, but it immediately connects somebody to you. When they go to social laboratories, of course, there's no picture of anybody, and I don't know who's behind it. So, there is something, you know, to be said for associating you with that. The other thing that I think about when you raise this point is, I think about email marketing, and when email marketers are, you know, advocating an email should be sent from a person rather than a business, because there's that connection to the individual. And so I think there's, you know, sort of an extension of this idea that you have, is leverage what you have in terms of relationship, but then continue to build on that relationship by continuously creating personification in the way that you deal with the business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason I put a big picture onto my personal website, which is RainyAchkar.com, is because people straight away, they go into the website and they're like, in big writing it says, "Hi, I'm Rennie," and there's a picture of me, so already they can put a name to the face. But on my agency website, I actually do, on the homepage, if you do go to the homepage, there's a picture of myself and my co-founder in work mode. It's not as a close and personal picture. It's us just working away, because what I've noticed is most agencies, if you go into their website, they mostly have technical pictures, for example, of a laptop or an email sign even. and it just doesn't really give any warmth to the visitor. And when you jump on a call, for example, with one of their team members, you don't know who to expect and what to expect from them.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, really getting yourself out there is really important. As I mentioned previously as well, we did a lot of automation, if I'm honest, in our first phase when we just started the business. So that was both email automation as well as LinkedIn. And it just doesn't work, unfortunately, as well as it did maybe 2 years ago when it just became a thing. It's great. I can send out 500 emails, 500 connection requests and messages via LinkedIn. But out of those, I'll be lucky if even one person replies these days. So it's inefficient. It might be effective if you do it in a very large scale, but what are you going to get out of that? A client, but you're not going to ever build a real relationship for that.
Yeah. And you know, again, sort of to look at this in a historical perspective, before we dealt with spam in email or spam, this will predate you when I say this, but spam faxes, for example, or spam, voice broadcasts on phone, right? Those were effective in a very non-personal way initially, and they are still effective if they're legal, right? Or if somebody has a fax machine to receive a fax, but certainly via email, they're certainly still effective, not at scale actually, but the other way around, where you're super targeted and super personalized. And so that's tough to automate, right? You have to be genuine and authentic in that way. So it's not that the tool or the method is obsolete. It's just that obviously doing it the way that you did it 2 years ago doesn't work as well. And that's something that's I think important to point out.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. So one of the tools I used for LinkedIn was called Meet Alfred. You could input certain variables, but no matter how advanced tech is at the moment, it doesn't really beat human connection. So for example, on my LinkedIn, my full name there is Reni C. Achkar. So it has my middle initial. So a lot of people do that as well. So when you see a message, for example, "Hey there, Reni C," it kind of gives it away straight away. And it's the small things that automation can't really pinpoint sometimes, which, ruins it for you, I guess, sometimes.
Well, by the way, that's a great point. And I have that tool as well. I used it for a while and then I thought, no, I'm going to actually hire a person to do this for me, because it will be more genuine. But, if you want to catch somebody, you know, automating, add your middle initial, or as many people do, put your entire name in all caps, or add an emoji in front of your name, which a lot of people do, and that you'll pick up that's this is being automated.
Yeah, it's similar to company as well, because sometimes you're like, I'm interested in what you do at company, and if somebody has a company name which is all in capitals and has like LTD at the end, they're just like, oh, okay then. Yeah, clearly a bot then.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so you've learned some lessons. You've made some adjustments. You offer a range of services now, and you're doing it in these two different spaces, the e-com and the blockchain space. What are you finding in terms of? I mean, this is just been a few months since the beginning of 2022, since the rebranding. What are you finding in terms of the response to the way that you've repositioned? Where are you seeing sort of the biggest benefit based on what you're leveraging?
Honestly, I was very surprised with the results in terms of inbound marketing, because previously it was all just outbound and trying to bring in prospective clients through cold outreach. Right now, I'm getting a lot of messages in my inbox because it's open. That's the LinkedIn one, I mean. So you don't need any email credit to message me. So I'm getting people messaging me asking if I have any availability for consulting or to come on for a contract role to help them, for example, for 3 months with their social media marketing. And that was one of the things that really surprised me the most, because previously I wasn't getting any of that, as I was sort of, sometimes you could even say, spamming people. The sequence would have five messages. Right now, it's a lot of inbound marketing. as well as we try to warm up the leads before we even offer them any services, because it's really important to understand if you can actually help the prospective client solve a problem rather than just give them another subscription that they're going to be paying every month. And that was one of the key takeaways, really, because I also do post a lot on LinkedIn every day, actually. I'm not shy to share some of the tools I use. I'm not really secretive in that sense. So people find a lot of value from my content. And that's another way that I'm getting a lot of inbound requests.
Yeah, I love when marketers are comfortable revealing what they're actually doing, what tools they're using, because it comes with the perspective that, look, I'm being hired for my expertise and my skills, not my knowledge of that there's a tool that I'm, you know, using that my client couldn't be using themselves. Anybody who wants to hire me, hopefully, is investing, you know, in my capability to support the outcome, the goal that they have. And so that's smart of you to be out there for two reasons. One, because I think it makes you, you know, come across as much more trustworthy. And, you know, this is an old adage, do business with people we know, like, and trust. And so that absolutely, you know, you're leveraging that there. The other thing is, you know, the fact that you're consistently putting content out there, is great, because it's now allowing you to get people approaching you about your expertise rather than the other way around, that cold outreach that you struggled to survive.
Consistency is really key here, because I've tried posting consistently on LinkedIn and Instagram as well for the past about 6 months, I would say. December time was when the first time I started posting. So I had 7 consistent posts only, and had a few more cycles like that where it would get up to like 10, 15. But now I ensure that every Saturday I take an hour or two to sit down, make some content for the week. I schedule it as well, because you never know when you're in the field that I am. Unexpected things can happen. A client could call up, so you don't have time to post. So I just use Hootsuite to schedule all my content. And yeah, every Saturday I take some time to do that. It's also important to review the content you've been posting. I do that every month, so I kind of have a look what content performs best, whether it's like Q&A sessions that I host, or if it's just giving information about different tools and resources. I kind of try to, for the next month, alter it to the best performing content. And each month we see growth.
You know, there's a certain degree of discipline that's involved in what you're doing that I think a lot of people don't have, but you've also explained how simple it can be, right? Do you put on your calendar that time every Saturday?
So it's usually I'll have a long sleep on the Friday to Saturday night, obviously. Wake up at around 10, do my morning routine, and I've made LinkedIn content creation part of this routine as well. So it's like I'll take a shower, brush my teeth, have my breakfast, and just start making content. And then until that whole routine isn't finished, I won't do anything else. But when I say that, it's not like I force myself. I actually enjoy it, and it's nowhere near as hard as you'd think it is. It's about literally just getting into that routine. It takes about 2-3 weeks. Well, personally for me, it did. And then it just becomes natural, and you genuinely enjoy it because of the reactions you get. Because at first I was averaging on like 5 to 10 likes on LinkedIn, which isn't great. But that grows really quickly once you start being consistent with that and adding true value to your community.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with the discipline there. I tend to automate a lot of the social content that gets posted, you know, on my profiles, probably to a much lesser benefit than what you have, because you're there creating material that is substantive. It's instructive. It demonstrates, you know, your expertise rather than, you know, what tends to be automated is, you know, links to these things and that thing, those things, and ultimately doesn't drive the benefit.
Yeah. One also important thing for actually like getting inbound marketing and working on your personal brand is actually networking with people from within your industry, within your city, even because what one of my other small mistakes that didn't really affect my business as much or my personal brand, but I saw a big improvement once I started doing this was commenting and engaging with other members on LinkedIn, because they can give you value and likewise in return you can give them value. So as you know how the algorithm on LinkedIn works is when you like something, your whole network sees like by David and it shows you the post. That's one thing I make sure I also do, at least 3 comments every day to people from my network who do something more or less relevant and similar to what I do. And it's a great way to build your network and community as well.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said for both creation of the content as well as engagement with others, because you know it's another human nature thing to reciprocate, and they will then engage with your stuff as well. And that's a great point. So in terms of where you see things going with the agency and the growth trajectory that you're sort of envisioning, where do you want to be in a year, in 5 years, 10 years?
So I'll start with short term, 6 months. So this has just come across, literally we just made this decision this month. Right now, a lot of blockchain startups are moving to Dubai. Their conditions for startups are great. So we're trying to open up a branch in Dubai right now to focus solely on our blockchain clients and prospective clients. In the long term, though, in the next 2 to 5 years, I see the company growing. We really want to open one office at some point in North America. Also a big market player, a lot of hugely funded startups based there. Right now, our company, we only have six people, including myself. I want to grow that. And one strategy that we've actually been implementing for growth and communication within our business is the OKR system. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with that one?
I don't think I know OKR.
So OKRs are it's a system. It's an objective. So what OKR stands for? Objective Key Results. It was a system developed by Andrew Grove when he was at Intel. Okay. One thing I found that was going a bit off in the start of this year was when we were growing, the communication within the team was a bit off. Not because people didn't like each other, but it was just Social Labs is fully remote at the moment. It just gives our team the freedom to choose where they work from. But of course, it's still a fairly new concept. So the communication wasn't as efficient as it could have been. So what OKRs do is, so you set an objective for the quarter and then the key results you fill out all together as a team. So for example, an objective could be hit £100,000 in sales in quarter one, and then the key results would be like have this much inbound leads coming in, set up this website, do this. So you basically set the key results and you delegate the tasks to different team members, and every week you have OKR calls where you check off the progress. So if it's like 20% done, you just take a note of that, and it just basically the whole team understands what they have to do and how we're going to do it and achieve it.
And I've said this a few times, the word discipline, and clearly you have that. It's also ingrained in what you do. I mean, you're tracking metrics on campaigns that you're running for clients, and it's great that you're actually doing it in your own business as well, tracking, you know, your ability to achieve the outcome that you're looking for. So that's a OKR is something I'm going to be looking further into.
Great. Yeah. If once you start growing, it's really essential to make sure the internal communication is going well.
Well, brilliant. This has been a great conversation, and it shows that you are really focused and thinking very seriously about the actions that you're taking in your business, which is, I think, a great example for other agency owners out there, as well as for the clients that you're supporting, to sort of demonstrate the your ability to think very analytically about where you're taking your own business and supporting the clients that you're working with as well. So good for you. I'm really impressed with what you shared.
Thank you.
So if folks want to reach out to you, what's the best place for them to find you?
Best place would be LinkedIn, if I'm honest. Okay. I'll drop you my link as well as Instagram. I do enjoy Instagram. And yeah, you've got access to my website as well if you need to learn more information or find out more.
Perfect. Well, we will leave the links for Rainey on LinkedIn, for his main website and Instagram as well. Rainey Ashkar, thank you so very, very much for hanging out with me today and the insights into how you've been growing your business and great lessons for our listeners as well.
Thank you, David. It was very great talking to you.
Indeed. Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you found something useful in this episode and wish to share it with somebody, I greatly appreciate that. And if you have something nice to say about us or you got a complaint, please head on over to, Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, this is More Perfect Marketing. I hope to see you again on another episode. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.